but I kept with the standard title. But really what we're going to talk about is a couple things you can do that will really help grow your retailer sales, and how you can mine your point of sale data to find what I call the nuggets of gold in there. And this is where the information lies that you can take to your retailer and ask them to do what Mike mentioned there, which is some of the phantom inventory stuff we're going to talk about today, and some disappearing data that you don't even know exists. So most of you who've been in the business a while know exactly how a retailer replenishment system works. Basically, it's set at a maximum level of inventory. You put a new product in, they'll give you a shelf space for 8 products. Every store gets 8, and from there, the replenishment system will kick in, and over time, help to maximize and optimize your inventory. Your retailer will, you know, I have a little dial there. They kind of dial it up, dial it down, depending on any seasonality, any promotions, those types of things. So there's still a lot of human thought that goes behind the replenishment and how much inventory should go into the stores. But as I said earlier, once the maximum stock level is reached at the initial shipment, the rest of it is a bit of a crapshoot as to how efficient that replenishment system will be. I can guarantee you, in my experience here, the one thing I always find is too much product in some of the stores and not enough product in some of the stores. Your best-selling products in your best-selling stores are always starved for inventory. So why do they fail? Well, we have inaccurate forecasts, we have shipment delays, we have receiving delays, we have long lead times, but at the end of the day, what's being fed into your retailer replenishment system is the inventory data at their DC, in their stores, and throughout their system. And if that system is spitting out poor and inaccurate data, the system is set to fail. It's the fuel that powers the replenishment. So what happens, as I mentioned, is you end up with far too much product in the wrong stores. I see it every day. The company I work with, Crunchbox, we run point of sale data analytics for suppliers. I always see stores with 144 of an item and other stores with negative 25. It just doesn't make any sense. But ultimately what happens if you end up with too much product and not enough stores, your buyer goes, hey, we're good, I got 10 weeks worth of inventory. But the reality is you got some stores with 20 weeks of inventory and other stores that are starving for inventory, which leads to, you know, retailer markdown requests, retailer fines, and delisted products. So here's the why this matters to you. Every presentation I've been to, or if you read all the books, it tells you you gotta have a hook here. So why this is the hook? It's because it's costing your company thousands in lost sales every year. And it's not easy to find. You don't always know what's happening, but it's happening to every single supplier out there, regardless of the retailer. And the best retailers make it a little easier to find because they will give you store-level data. So they'll tell you what your sales are by store. They'll tell you inventory by store. So think Walmart, Target, Macy's, Nordstrom's, et cetera. The harder ones are the ones that'll just give you product-level detail because it's impossible to find phantom inventory and some store opportunities in those. So let's move into this a little bit. So I talked to a supplier. This goes back to October. They supply Lowe's, and they're telling me, we know the orders are decreasing, but we couldn't figure out why. So what I want to do today is help you with the why so you can take that back to your business and understand where you might be able to apply a couple of the things we'll talk about today. And like I said, you're losing revenue. I've coined the term distribution erosion. So distribution erosion to me is costing you sales every week, and it's basically when you think your product's in that store, but it's not. So you know when you drop a new product in a retailer, you know how many stores it should be in. And each week, if you mine your data, you can see if it's still in that number of stores, but I'm here to tell you it likely isn't. And you don't even know what's happening, which is the bigger kicker. So the two main causes of distribution erosion, phantom inventory, and disappearing data. The phantom inventory we're going to cover off first. The disappearing data is a little bit more obscure. It's something that you probably don't even know is happening, but we can look at the file records that we get from the retailers each week and look at how many distribution points are in each file and why you tend to get the long list one week, a short list the next, and why data disappears from your retailer files. It basically leaves you with an empty store shelf that you'll never know about. So while you may think you're in every Walmart store that they told you and you're supposed to be in every supercenter, chances are you're not. And this is the challenge, like I said earlier, is it happens because we have inaccurate inventory data feeding the system, where they say they have 3 units, but those 3 units don't exist. So you get it because there's receiving errors, Or, you know, think about you ship in 12s. Well, maybe two were damaged on the way. They still receive 12. They put the two aside. You get returns. Someone buys a product, brings it back, never makes it back to the shelf, but it's been scanned back into inventory. Improper sales recording and scanning. Like, who goes to a grocery store, Diet Coke and Coke's on sale? You have two cases. You scan two Cokes instead of the Diet Coke and the Coke because they're both $4.99. Right? All of a sudden, the inventory in that store says, I got 38 cases of Coke left, and I should have 39, and the Diet Coke has 38 when it should have 39. So there's different ways that the data gets corrupted, and it gets corrupted sometimes very innocently just by poor scanning. I'm a culprit of that myself. And of course, right now, shrink, too, depending on what category you're in and what retailers you're in, shrink is becoming a, you know, a bigger problem, as we've all read about Walmart and Target closing stores across the country just based on shrink and theft. So the biggest impact of phantom inventory. So if you don't address this, so this is where, you know, phantom inventory, where your data says you have two on the shelf, says you have three on the shelf, but nothing is moving. It's that same inventory level over the past 4, 8, 12 weeks, is you're never going to get another order. So you need to find a way to address it. So I've seen it, we mine the data in my company, we mine it over 4 and 12 weeks. I've seen inventory over 12 weeks not move of the best-selling product, and it's because it's not there. Now the replenishment system is set at a min and tends to be set at a min and a max. So when they get to a minimum of 3 on the shelf or 4 on the shelf, they're supposed to send another order that fills it back up to the max. Well, if the store thinks it has 3, if the data says they have 3, again, you're never gonna get another order. And then the impact of that, of course, is they just tell you, hey, your product's not selling as well as it did before. We're down, you're down 20%. Well, it's not that you're down 20%. It's that you've lost your shelf space in 20% of the stores through phantom inventory. So then what I want to talk about is how to fix it. So I'll tell you how we fix it in Crunchbox. And it's an automated tool, but essentially you can also do this on an Excel file. So you're looking at product store combinations where the inventory is sitting at, you know, pick a number, 3, 2, 1, 0, and it, well, 0 would be non-existent, but 1, 2, 3 or whatever. And now you want to mine that data each week. So each week, look for the product store combination, maybe start with your best-selling product, line those files up, all the inventory for those files, and then just run your script or filter it for sales that are 0 and the inventory hasn't changed. And if you do this over a significant time period, 4, 6, 8 weeks, you're eventually going to find phantom inventory. So again, you're just looking for inventory in the system at a store by product that doesn't change over X weeks because it's telling you that the product is likely not on the shelf. Now, your retailer's never going to find this. They remember, their system says, hey, you got 4. And you're merchant team, the buyer team, doesn't have time and energy to go, I wonder how much phantom inventory we have in the category. They're more concerned with you have 10 weeks of inventory, and they can't dig into where that 10 weeks of inventory is. Now, the bonus by doing this exercise, if you look at everything, you will also find your stuck stock, as I call it. So usually that's case pack. So if you ship in 12s or 12, you'll find 12, 24, or 36 pieces of product that haven't moved. So that finds the stuff, you know, like thinking a top shelf, back room, so they've scanned it into the store inventory, it just isn't on the shelf. So you'll find both the phantom and you'll find the larger quantities of inventory that are likely in the store but not on the shelf itself. So what's next? So now that you've isolated all your phantom inventory, there's a couple things you can do, and this is usually the next question that I get. So we'll go they'll go through the exercise, they'll get all their phantom inventory, and sometimes it's a significant amount, could be 1,000 product store combinations of their best seller. You want to prioritize what you want to fix first, because you got to ask your buyer to make some type of activity, so your merchant, your buyer, your planner, whoever you would liaise with this. So the easiest thing that you want to do is ask your retailer to zero out the inventory in those stores. Because again, you won't get an, you're not going to get an order unless they take that inventory down to 0. Then you want to ask them, potentially some will ask, do a cycle count, which might be the only way you can get them to actually act on what you're suggesting. So you're going to ask them to cycle count a set number of stores to make sure that this inventory is there or it isn't there. And again, if it isn't there, cycle it out. You can always, if it's a big enough problem, you can always hire a third-party merchandising team. You can hire people to call the store, speak to the department manager, ask them to check if that inventory is actually there for you. You just want to validate that it is actually missing in action. And then you're going to ask that retailer to now create an order or suggest an order to that retailer based on your inventory mining. We need these products to go into these stores because they're not on the shelf. And I haven't had a retailer yet that said that didn't make any sense. Easiest money I think you'll ever find, because it's with an existing customer. You're not pitching new product. It doesn't cost you very much. The data is there. You just need the time and the energy to be able to pull it all together. Exactly, fix it, and it could be 10 to 100,000 in new sales. And then I was chatting with Dana over at Range Clean, I don't know, a month or two ago. We were just chatting about phantom inventory, and she gave me this great quote that I could use today. So they did the manual process. They did exactly what I was talking about there. They went through and they looked at their retailer data over X period of time, found what they believed to be all the phantom inventory, worked with their retailer to get it zeroed out, and they got a new order that she said was like living in the Thanksgiving Day order world. So for that business, it was a significant return for the time they invested. Before I move along, any questions so far? Last one of the day. You guys are either here to put your feet up, it's relaxing, needed a place to sit. I got my family in the front row. Yeah, the e-commerce is harder.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
You were asking, go ahead. Yeah, you could do the same at an e-com. You treat it like one store, and you see if it's like they got six, but they haven't sold any in weeks. But the inventory is always going to show that they have it. It's a little harder without just looking at e-com. You really do need the store-level detail. More retailers are making that available. Yeah. All right, moving along. This one's a little bit more obscure because this one, it is literally disappearing data. So Walmart loves to do this if anyone in here supplies Walmart. And they do it because they want to minimize the amount of data that they're sending back and forth to everybody, because there's thousands of people hitting their system, trying to download reporting, so they're minimizing the amount of data that they want to send back and forth. And the end result is that they suppress zeros. So it typically happens when you have zero sales, zero inventory, zero on order, and if you have a big line of zeros and a zero rate of sale, the data just drops off your reporting. So while you may think you're in every single supercenter in Walmart, I'll encourage you to go back and run your report from last June or August, pick a time, November, run it today, and see how many product store combinations you have in each report. So just pick one product, because that's the only way you can do it. But pick a product and then do some analysis that way. Because I can guarantee it's happening to your brand today. It may not be like 1,000 stores or 500 stores, but it could be 5 stores a week where they will stop ordering product for that store because you have a zero rate of sale. So we'll get into this a little bit. We will. There we go. So the impact of missing data is you get lost orders, you're going to miss your sales projections, you lose your shelf space because essentially the product just disappears from the store planogram. And there's so many products in these stores that no one ever really notices. So you end up with a lower return on your inventory capital, potentially getting your product delisted, and you know, we've all been there, dissatisfied customers. How many times have you gone online, you want something immediately, you look at the store inventory, it says your local store has their product, you get over there and there's nothing on the shelf. So I looked at one this morning because I wanted to try and find a real-life example. So one of the customers or suppliers that I work with sells TVs. This is, they're in every Supercenter and Walmart store, which is about 3,920 locations. In November, they were in all 3,920 stores. This is a very good selling TV within those locations. This week, they're in 3,671 stores. Now, the secret was it wasn't just this week, but each week it's eroding because they suppress the zeros in the data. By suppressing zeros, it basically means that product store combination just disappears from your Excel file. So unless you have a way to mine to understand what your total product store combination is for that particular product, in this case, it should be 3,920 locations. They should have a sale. They should have a sale or a piece of inventory over the last 12 weeks, which is what I did for this. And so the 249 stores had not had a rate of sale of zero which meant they had zero sales, zero inventory, zero on order, zero in transit. And I will share this later today or tomorrow with my friends over there and tell them that this is something they will want to address. Because for them, it's a costly adventure. So I think the total was $70,000 a week in lost sales. So on a wholesale basis, maybe that's $40,000 a week. We're talking about a significant problem here. So it's very challenging, though, to find this. So we'll talk a little bit about how to do that, how you can calculate, like I said, your total number of store product combinations. So I just looked at how many stores had this product, like I said, in November, how many stores have this product today. And now you can dig deeper in addressing the issue, because we just lost 250 stores that should carry this product. And again, it's so hard to find because they suppress the zero. So once that store, and if you've had inventory issues where your rate of sale goes to zero, the inventory is at zero. And remember, the replenishment system is set to calculate off a rate of sale. How many do I need? I need 12 weeks of inventory. What's the rate of sale? Zero. How many do I need? Zero. So unless you have a way to find this and mine this through your system, it is quite challenging. So the easiest way to do is just a simple way that I did, which is let's find the number of stores today that no longer have that product. And let's work from there and try and calculate those stores, provide a list, and then from there you can action plan it. That's if you don't have an analyst that's really tech savvy with some great Excel skills. And the challenge is you want to look over multiple time frames so you can see if that store ever had a rate of sale of that product. So did they have the product before and has it dropped off your list? On my website at Crunchbox, if you use Power BI at all, we have a step-by-step instruction on how to do this. So you want to take a picture of that, you can do that. But that's just to give you an idea of how you can fix it using Power BI versus Excel. But again, if you can figure this out, it is thousands of dollars you will retrieve. Because again, the challenge is you've lost your shelf space, something else is in that space, you don't know what's happening, you think you should be in every store, but you're not. Way to be on time, Mike. So the easiest way to do this, you can do some automation. So you can write some scripts, you can use some Python, do some other cool things that'll help you get to the end result, reduce the manual effort. What you really want to do, though, is work with your retailer and see if they will share more data with you. There's still lots of retailers out there that aren't giving suppliers enough store-level data. And we need to have the store-level data to really help your suppliers sell more, although most of the companies I talked to here today are telling me their retailers are asking them to do more. And then the whole idea, though, is really to start the collaboration around data-backed suggestions for your retailer. Take them something that they don't know. Use the data that they've provided you to create a story and get them to act on it. It's the easiest money you'll ever find. You're already selling to them. You just need to pinpoint some of the challenges that their replenishment system has. And by doing this as well, you'll get a nicer distribution of your inventory out there. You'll turn more inventory capital, and both parties will make a lot more money. So as I mentioned, I work at Crunchbox. This is something that I do every week with all our suppliers. I have a support team that actually does most of the work and helps our customers with our technology find these opportunities. So if you're interested in learning more about what we do on the point of sale data side of the world, happy to have a chat with you afterwards, answer some questions, give you a card. Crunchbox is an official partner of the IHA, so it's us, Oracle, and Circana, who have an official partnership with the IHA and have a program with them for suppliers as well. And that's me. So if you want to take my contact number down, connect with me on LinkedIn. I post lots of content there. I have a Point of Sale Data Guy YouTube channel if you're into that. Lots of content I post out there to help suppliers like yourself mine your point of sale data for more success and revenue. Any questions following my last 29 minutes and 45 seconds?
Anyway, does anyone have any questions? Okay.
Hello.
Hey, there we are. I have a question.
All right.
How cooperative are retailers in this process? In other words, do they want to do this? Is it hard to get the data that you need? And then once you build a relationship along these lines, does it become, you know, do they want to help you? I would assume that they would want to help you solve this problem, but, you know, how much retailer cooperation and how much available data is there to do this?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a little all over the place is the answer. So number one is I haven't heard from any supplier that their retailer says they'll do more work for them. So it tends to be that they're pushing everything down to the supplier level to come with me or come bring me data back suggestions that I can implement. So if someone asks me why I did it, I have the data behind me that says this is why we did this. And leading retailers, so Walmart's launching a new system called Luminate that they've invested millions in to take their data sharing and collaboration to the next level, and it's beyond just retailer sales. There's consumer panels in there, there's all the category data, so they're kind of like a Nielsen, Circana combination now. It's not cheap, you gotta pay money for it, but they do want the suppliers to use the data more. And some retailers are taking an open view of this and sharing more and more data, and there are still others, the laggards, that you know continue to share on an ad hoc basis. In the housewares business, you have leaders like Walmart and Target and Macy's and Nordstrom's that make all their data available. Then you have, you know, Sur-La-Table that provides a monthly Excel file. So the leaders that will lead, I think everyone in the room, regardless of department, regardless of company, data plays a more important role in all the decision making, from financial to inventory to HR to payroll costs and everything, right? Everything is a new measured metric.
And the other question I have is, at what point does it become cost effective to engage a third party?
It does come down to the amount of manual effort, how many retailers you're in, how many people need to be looking at the data, how much time you're spending cleaning and collating the data. If you're in one retailer, you can probably easily manage all the information, but once you get beyond two or three, it becomes very cumbersome. It all depends what you want to do with your data. Look, we're an inexpensive player in the market, and some are six figures. So it's hard to say, but lots of companies will hire an analyst as their first step. But then it's about, you know, how do you prepare your analyst to be successful? What tools do they need to be successful? And we always say, look, you can hire me to build a fence. You can give me a nail gun, or you can give me a hammer and nails. One's going to make me a lot more productive and proactive and give me time to think about it, while the other one's still very labor intensive.
Any other questions? Well, in any case, thank you, Doug.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks
thank
for coming
for
out.
Thank you for stopping by.